Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Front and center, the Jets and their pursuit of Aaron Rodgers. We've been talking about it all week. And then yesterday they actually hired Nathaniel Hackett as their offensive coordinator, somebody who knows Hackett very well from covering him this failed year in Denver. My good buddy Brandon Crystal, of course, you can follow him on Twitter at BK Denver Sports. He's a sports anchor and reporter in Colorado for KOA Colorado, correspondent for Fox Sports Radio. Been in the business a long time. Him and I go way back over those. Hey, Crystal, today is my 20-year anniversary since I first set foot in the Fan as an intern. And I've known you, man, what, like 3 years or so after that. So I've known you a long time as well.
Well, happy anniversary, and I got to think that if you were walking into the Fan in your Jamal Anderson jersey that day, you knew that it was going to be life-changing. And 2 decades later, whether you're on the mighty airwaves of the Fan or on Sportsnet New York or anywhere in between, you're still going strong. And maybe next year is the year that the Falcons get it figured out with the Desmond Ritter experiment. And
I doubt that.
I'll be seeing you at the Super Bowl in Vegas cheering on your Falcons.
Yeah,
but,
right.
No, I mean,
I doubt that. I keep pushing forward for 20 years. The Falcons keep going backwards, those losers. All right, anyway, so you covered Nathaniel Hackett this year. Boy, I mean, there's a lot to get into. First and foremost, what'd you think of Hackett, the person that you got to know while you covered the team?
Hackett, the person, is, and I was looking at some of Coach Sala's comments. He said the hire is a home run. Hackett, the person, is a home run. And there's a great story, if you want to just kind of get to know him a little bit, that Nikki Javala, who worked out here for a long time and is now at the Washington Post, mostly covering the Commanders but covering the league, she did a really good piece on Hackett a year ago. So, you know, 2 Novembers ago, when he was getting some buzz about becoming a head coach, and about what he learned from his dad and about his personality traits and how he wanted to be or he taught hip-hop dance class and he wanted to be a neurobiologist. And he's just a really unique, fun guy to be around. But then, you know, so when you get to spend time with him, you're like, is this going to work as a coach? Can he be – we know he's got the good cop part down. Can he be the bad cop when he needs to? And so, but just personality-wise, there's a reason Aaron Rodgers loves him, is he can be the good cop. And so whether it's Zach Wilson or perhaps likely another quarterback, they'll get along with Nathaniel Hackett because he'll be the good cop, and this will allow Robert Saleh to be the bad cop when needed.
So before we get into Rodgers, obviously there's a lot here that I want to get to. What went wrong in Denver? Was it his relationship with Russell Wilson? Was he overmatched? What exactly was the issue for him as a head coach in Denver?
Yeah, I think it was a combination of a few things. You know, if Brett Rippon would have been his quarterback all year, and I don't think they would have won many more games, but a quarterback where he's not looking over there saying, oh, I need to make the quarterback happy. I remember when I was with the team in London, and it was a small hotel that we were all staying in, and, you know, we're the radio flagship. I see one of the assistant coaches at 1 in the morning, one of the offensive coaches, coming back to the room because he's like 8 doors down from me. Say, Coach, do you think that Coach Hackett is trying to get Russ going a little too much? And he's like, oh, get our best player, getting him going early. I'm like, look, that's a coach answer. I'm saying at the expense of the offense, is he going out of his way to feature Russ unintentionally? Because go back all the way to the beginning of the year, the game in Seattle they lost where they had the 2 red zone fumbles, and they were just terrible in the red zone early. They were terrible in the red zone most of the year. But 15 of the first 18 plays inside the 10-yard line were pass plays. you know, it's the stuff Peyton Manning might have used to do. He checked the pass plays to get his touchdown numbers up, but he completed all, no, maybe not all of them, but lots and lots and lots of them. That's not really been who Russell Wilson is. And so I think that Hackett was going out of his way to get Russ cooking, to get him going, because he just felt obligated and excited that he had Russell Wilson. And then, you know, the more the season went on, you find that maybe Russ was checking the stuff on his own, or not wanting to call something and calling, I don't say completely calling something else, but checking out of it to go a different direction. And so Hackett was kind of having to deal with managing that with what Russ wanted to do and what he thought he should be able to do. And they would abandon the run a little too early. They go out against an undermanned Titans team in Nashville and pass the ball 8 of the first 9 times. You know, that was after the bye week, coming off the win in London over the Jags. But it was stuff like that. And then you look at the game management stuff and the fact that he hired so many coaches that were in the job they had this year for him in Denver for the first time. It was just not a great mix. So I don't know if he's a bad football coach. I think the head football coaching responsibilities may have been a lot for him. But I do know that lots of players that have been around him, and including lots of Broncos players, really like him, the person. And he's been around some good football, a lot of good rushing football specifically. And so can he get that going in New York, especially when Breece Hall gets healthy? I think there's a good possibility. Like you said, we'll get to the Aaron Rodgers part. So
We'll get to Rodgers in a second. Talk about Brandon Crystal at BK Denver Sports on Twitter, sports anchor reporter for KOA Colorado. Was Hackett hired by the Broncos to lure Aaron Rodgers there?
I don't think specifically, because that's a terrible way to approach it. I think that they like the idea that Hackett and Rodgers have such a close relationship. They weren't exactly sure what direction they would go. The Russell Wilson stuff started to come together shortly after they hired Hackett. You know, if you believe the stories, and I do in the reporting, that John Schneider and George Payton made first contact, if you will, at the Senior Bowl, which is kind of next week. And Hackett got hired exactly a year ago on the 26th of January. Was when the hire was announced. Tom Pelissero broke the news on NFL or from NFL Network at 5 a.m. Mountain Time. So I think that would have been a feather in the cap. But you can't hire a guy and think, oh, we're going to definitely get Rodgers. You got to hire a guy that is going to change what's going on in your building. There's a reason you moved on from the old coach almost, you know, 99% of the time, except for when a guy retires, right? And so Vic Fangio was an old-school defensive guy. Well, Nathaniel Hackett, whose dad might have been a little old-school, he's very new-school in his thinking and the way he approaches practice and incorporating technology and all of that in training camp. And so you were hiring a guy that was different from Vic Fangio, that everyone likes and had a good plan, and if it could get Aaron Rodgers, great. But they didn't hire him specifically to get Aaron Rodgers, because that would have been insane. Because once they don't get him, let's say they don't trade for Russell Wilson, well, then what are they doing at quarterback anyway? Is it bringing back Teddy Bridgewater, signing Jacoby Brissett, making a different trade, getting Sam Darnold, whatever it is? It's like, okay, well, now we have this guy that we didn't really want. No, I think he won them in the room. He was really good. I heard Kevin O'Connell was really good. I heard Aaron Glenn was really good. But Hackett, in both his interviews, blew him away.
But then why do you fire him after less than a year? Like, I get it was a disaster. My opinion is, from the outside, I would have never hired him based on some of the stuff that I saw. He was completely overmatched, inept. But if they hired him, not just to bring Aaron Rodgers there, if they hired him because they believed in him, how do you change course on that after whatever it was, 12, 14 games when they fired him?
Because George Payton hired him, and the ownership change was going to take place, but you didn't know who was buying the team in January. By the time the ownership change happens in August, you have Russell Wilson in the fold. You're excited about Hackett's personality. Then the games start happening, and obviously from the get-go, that opener in Seattle with the 64-yard field goal, and you got Russell Wilson right there in a field he knows how to come back and win, and you don't give him that chance to at least on 4th-and-3 try to make a play. You know, they're just kind of, as the Penner-Walton group and Greg Penner kind of leading the group, as they're going through their checklist of what they want to see from a coach, even though it's their first time owning a sports team, they, you know, go week by week by week. And George Payton is just an employee of theirs, someone whose opinion I think that they trust and value. But if George got it wrong, they're not the ones who got it wrong. And so that's why Greg Penner is leading this search, and Condoleezza Rice, who's a part of the ownership group, has a big hand, at least in the initial part of these interviews, and Greg's wife, Carrie Walton Penner, whose dad, Rob, is the one who wrote the big check there in the meeting, both Rob and Carrie. So I think that that's why it's easy to move on, because Greg's like, I didn't hire him. I like him, but things aren't going well. We're stuck with Russ. I don't think he says it like that,
right,
you know, out loud. So it's like, we have to make a change. This isn't working, and to do another year of this would be crazy. So let's see what else is out there.
Okay, so now if you're Hackett, and what did he sign with Denver? What kind of, like, what's he getting paid now?
The standard, like, 4-year, $20 million, you know, give or take, whatever. Ooh. 4 years, $18
million. Right, and he's getting that money no matter what.
Right, and so I'm sure his contract with the Jets, there's probably an unwritten rule in football that you're not signing him for $58,000, but you're probably not paying him $3 million. You're probably paying him whatever the average coordinator makes, $1 million, $1.5 million, and then the Broncos are eating the rest of the contract, and they'll pay it out, whether they pay it out annually or all at once, however that works. I'm not an accountant or an agent.
Right.
So
my question then is, why would, because we're trying to connect the dots to Aaron Rodgers, right? Why would Nathaniel Hackett take this job, the Jets offensive coordinator job, which is probably the worst offensive coordinator job in the league, the way that it stands right now? Why would he take when he doesn't need it, because he's got the money, he could go sit, retire somewhere, sure, relax somewhere for at least,
sure,
a year.
He's got four kids.
Yeah.
Right, he's got four kids. His oldest is just finishing his freshman year. He's a really good soccer player and plays football. And then his other kids all play sports, two boys, two girls. Yeah, he easily could have hung out in Colorado or gone somewhere else if they wanted to move and just seeing what was out there in a year when we know all the
right
changes happen again.
And yeah, and not to mention that, you know, he's coming off of what he went through, and the Jets offensive coordinator position isn't a desirable one, and that Robert Saleh is basically a lame duck. So he's going from just getting fired in Denver to now being in a spot where if they don't make the playoffs, they're all gone yet again. So why would he take that risk when he has no need to whatsoever, unless Aaron Rodgers was coming with them?
Well, there could be something to that, and it's really fascinating, right? Robert Saleh and Matt LaFleur are obviously very close, and if you go back and listen to that Sean McVay, Peter Schrager podcast from 2 years ago when those guys did the Flying Coach second season podcast, you hear how close Saleh and LaFleur really were because they did it together. But Mike LaFleur gets fired. I guess Matt's not holding it against him. Does Matt have enough juice with the Packers? And I don't know exactly how that dynamic is between he and Brian Gutekunst to say, look, let's get this deal done. Let's get some more draft picks. Let's move on from Aaron. We saw enough from Jordan Love that'll get us through the year or whatever it may be. And let's just, you know, nip this in the bud. We're not doing this 2 more years, just like they did the first time around with Brett Favre, where it's like, is he retiring this year? So let him go to a place. If he wants to go there, we know who Robert is. We know he loves Coach Hackett, right?
How close are they? I mean, do you know how we hear that they're BFFs, and we know that, you know, Rodgers won the MVPs under Hackett and obviously had success, but are they actually that close?
Well, I don't know. I know that they're almost the same age, right? They're just a few years apart.
Right.
And so they're from the same generation, if you will, and have the same sensibilities and same references and both love Star Wars, as silly as that.
Really?
Well, so I remember years ago when Rodgers was dating Olivia Munn and the new Star Wars came out, or the last Star Wars, and she was wearing like a Star Wars t-shirt in her Instagram post, and he was wearing like a Luke Skywalker cloak. Huh. She's like, one of us has a t-shirt, one of us has the cloak from the movie. and Hackett loves Star Wars and everything about Star Wars, so maybe they connect on that level to some degree too.
I gotta be honest,
football.
I love Star Wars. I don't know about you. I love Star Wars. I don't want the head coach of my football team loving Star Wars.
Well, here's the thing. He's not the head coach in this case.
Well,
he's just
right,
the play caller.
That is, well, I'm saying if I would have known that I wouldn't have hired the guy. Oh, you like Star Wars? That's great. But you know what? For a head coach, we're looking for somebody a little different.
I want head coaches that play Madden and know how to manage timeouts.
Yeah, well, right. You didn't get that. I don't think there are too many of those guys in the league.
Not as many as you think. And
like,
you know,
I want a head coach that loves Rambo or Die Hard.
Well,
you know what I mean?
It, but the reason,
or Gladiator.
The reason Madden is honestly, no, but when you think about it, how many coaches mismanage timeouts? Because, and it's like, have you never played Madden? Because you know you got to take them before the 2-minute warning. It's getting better, but in general, you still don't have enough coaches that know to do that. And I remember Hackett was actually asked, hey, do you play Madden? He's like, not as much anymore as I used to. So at least he's of the Madden generation. But regardless,
right.
I will say this. Look, he wants to run the football. I remember sitting with him because we were on the same flight back from the combine. And this is, I guess, right as the Russell Wilson thing was maybe coming together, but certainly very few people knew about it. And we were talking about just his philosophy and his time at Syracuse. I was like, man, that's pretty crazy. You know, you had Floyd Little, who obviously is a Broncos Hall of Famer, and Ernie Davis, and of course the great Jim Brown. He goes, oh yeah, we beat all their records. He's like, we run the damn football. And so at his core, he is still cut from that, you know, West Coast offense that he's part of the QB collective with Kyle Shanahan and the rest of all of these young coaches, and Sean McVay and the like, and they want to run the outside zone. Same thing Mike LaFleur wanted to run, or tried to run, and it wasn't always executed, but he had Russell Wilson and wanted to get Russ cooking, I think, and got away from his own principles. If you look at the, obviously they lost the Jets game with Brett Rypien starting this time. Brett Rypien, who had owned the Jets prior based on his trip to the Meadowlands a couple of years ago, the game plan looked a little more normal. And you're like, oh, we'll just do that when Russ gets back next week. Like, just run the ball more. And then they were quick to abandon it. And so I think that he was a victim of his own, you know, kind of a prisoner in his own mind. He was like, God, you do have Russ. Like, let's get him going. And then whatever Russ was changing to. So with the running backs they have, if Breece Hall gets back healthy and Carter, whether Aaron Rodgers is there or not, they are going to try to run the ball as effectively. And if you go back and watch some of the Broncos, really any game, but especially early in the year, there are guys running wide open. People get open in this offense. And we see it in San Francisco. We've seen it in Green Bay. And so if Aaron Rodgers is there, that makes it obviously much more exciting. But regardless of who's at quarterback, Nathaniel Hackett can scheme up some really good plays. It's, can he have that consistency in his play calling? And we won't know that until September.
How do you think it shakes out here ultimately? You think the Jets, well, just tell me what you think the Jets are going to do at quarterback. And I guess maybe to further it with one more question, let's say it's not Aaron Rodgers. Let's say it's Derek Carr. Will he work in, or which other quarterback, Carr, Garoppolo, will they work in Hackett's system?
I think so. Well, and the reason you know Garoppolo will is because he's worked in it with Kyle Shanahan, and it's going to be as close as he can try to mirror that. It's funny because Hackett doesn't have any direct ties to that offense beyond his time now with LaFleur, other than it's all evolved out of Bill Walsh's original offense. But Hackett has kind of gone out of his way to really become a part of it and wanted to be on LaFleur's staff after getting let go in Jacksonville because he wanted to run the stuff that Kyle runs. And, you know, that's what everyone's kind of based in. Sean McVay's changed it a little. So I think that if I'm the Jets, I do all I can to get Aaron Rodgers. To me, it's worth two number ones, right? The Jets missed on Zach Wilson. The best way to cover up that miss, because, right, the Broncos missed on Paxton Lynch a few years ago, and people don't beat him up as much as they probably should on missing on a first-round quarterback. Now, that was right after they won the Super Bowl, and they kind of rushed to the pick. But missing on Zach Wilson at number two is going to sting unless you trade for Aaron Rodgers, and he comes in for, you would hope, at least 2 years, not just 1 year. And I think it's funny because everyone talks about the New York media. I'm guessing Aaron Rodgers pays attention to what he wants to pay attention to. But at the end of the day, if he's playing well, there's nothing better than winning in New York. We certainly know that. And to do it for a year or two, he may like the confrontation with new guys, with, you know, and let's be fair. And I'm not trying to pick on the media that, like, they're not in there attacking you all the time. You have columnists, they're going to write what they're going to say. You have, obviously, talk shows, not just on The Fan, but all around the tri-state area. Like, it's going to be out.
There are talk shows outside of The Fan? What, are you kidding me? What, we lost him? You know what? Cut him. There are no talk shows outside of The Fan. What are you talking about? This is the only place for sports talk. The only place. But no, I know what you're saying, and I do think that, or I know what he was saying. He's not there anymore, so. I know what he's saying about Rodgers and handling the media, where I do think, I was telling you earlier, I do feel like Rodgers will handle it well. And I don't think the media is going to be looking to rip Rodgers, nor does he care. He'll answer things honestly. He'll be straightforward, and then they're going to have to deal with it. So we lost you there, Brett. Look, there are no sports talk stations outside of this one. What, are you kidding me? In New York, this is the only one that matters.
Right, and on Twitter, look, Aaron Rodgers isn't Kevin Durant. He's not that engaged on social media. Right. He's doing what he's doing. He's going to talk to Pat McAfee. He's going to see the clips he wants to see. He's going to tell people to relax when they need to relax. But he may look at, after spending the last two decades basically in obscurity during the football season, which has its pluses and minuses. Like, now, if he wants to on a Monday or Tuesday night, he'll probably find a quiet little spot in the Village to go have dinner, right? You can't do that in Green Bay when you're Aaron Rodgers, you know, unless you probably rent out the whole place. And so he may welcome the opportunity if that ends up being a deal that can get done and they can make the money work and make the trade work. And I think it would be huge for the Jets to maybe save Salah's career. And, you know, you asked why Hackett wanted to jump back in, to go back to that real quickly. He wants to reestablish his good name, if you will, right?
Right.
He's a guy that's well thought of and given the opportunity.
And he thinks this is a spot to do that?
Well, I think it's like, it can't get any worse. I still have all this money coming to me. I'll continue to keep coaching if I want to keep coaching. But if I can get the Jets going, then I'm a guy, oh, I couldn't get Russ going because Russ, it just wasn't working. But look, one, I got Aaron Rodgers to come here, possibly, or two, without Aaron Rodgers, with Derek Carr or whomever, and these young running backs, look at what we're doing. And we're, because the Jets were 6-3, right? They didn't start out the year 3-6. There's right. some pieces there, and I certainly like some of the pieces on the defense. So if they can make a couple of good offseason moves, or even if the, you know, they lose some draft picks to acquire Aaron Rodgers will cover up a lot of blemishes, but I think he'll be re-energized too. And so, you know, he didn't have much to say about Matt LaFleur's hiring, and I think they've gotten along well enough, but we know he likes Hackett, and Hackett likes him, so he'll probably have even more influence, but in a positive way, because they'll just be like, yeah, let's just run these plays, because it got me two MVPs.
Yeah, and I just get the feel that it's going to happen. All the pieces are now in place with Hackett, his buddy being the offensive coordinator. You know, you look at, if it's the AFC teams, I think the Jets are the best spot if Rodgers wants to win, or you look at the roster and where they could go, so... I hope it works out. All right, dude. Thanks, Brandon. We appreciate the insight. Always good to catch up with you.
Likewise. Happy anniversary, and let's go Mets, I guess.
Thanks,
huh?
Buddy. Yeah,
dodged
let's go Mets.
Dodged a bullet on Carlos Correa. Dodged a bullet on Correa.
Well, before even we get into the Mets, I want the Rangers to take down the Avs this time.
Well, the Avs lost to the lowly Ducks tonight, and Gordon Bombay wasn't even coaching.
So. Rangers, Avs in the finals. Maybe I'll make a trip out there, and we can go check out a game together.
I got a guest room for you, buddy.
All right, thanks, Brandon. I appreciate it.
See ya,
Brandon Crystal, sports anchor and reporter for at KOA. Well, that's a Twitter handle for KOA Colorado, which is the home of the Broncos. The Twitter handle is at KOA Colorado. His Twitter handle at BK Denver Sports. Always fun catching up with him. The thing that I learned there, and I guess I should have known this anyway, but as a head coach, you know, this year was a total disaster with Nathaniel Hackett, and it wasn't any semblance of the offense apparently that he normally runs. But do the math, right? With Matt LaFleur in Green Bay, they run that offense similar to what Mike LaFleur was trying to run with the Jets, which is Kyle Shanahan's offense. So it's not like it's a totally different offense, but what you're getting is somebody who's better at running it because he's a more experienced, more successful offensive coordinator. So the Jets clearly upgraded at offensive coordinator, but it means absolutely nothing if Aaron Rodgers doesn't come with him.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.